Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Today we have good news indeed. Not only are we headed to Zambia tomorrow, but today is the official opening of Bridgewalk season. And joining me today are Sherry and Ashwini, who have agreed to assist with talking about what we have to look forward to in the campaign. So welcome, Sherry.
Thank you.
And Ashwini.
Thank you, Jen.
So, Sherry, I thought we might start by looking at one of the things, the themes, as we talked about what we wanted to focus on for the 11 or so weeks we have leading up to the walk, is really celebrating the steps of transformation along the way.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that's been really fun about that is to realize that, yes, a ton of transformation has happened on the very practical level of development in Cantalomba, and right along with it is this track of what's happening for each of us as we participate in that and the transformation that happens internally. And I wondered if we might start off by you speaking a little bit to that.
Yes, because really without that internal transformation, it doesn't really matter much what happens with the external, does it?
Yes, yeah, that's true.
And we have more evidence of that than we could go into right now. And aside from that, it's not really our focus. So what we do is just an opportunity for us to see how we do, and the process of bringing awareness to how we do what it is that we do results in the, or has the potential to result in, the transformation that we're looking for. So it's such a perfect mirror for us, this work that we're doing in Zambia, on every level. So one of the things that we talk about is that reaching out to, bringing compassion to the vulnerable, innocent parts of ourselves, the children that reside within us. Those children represent for us the innocence and vulnerability. Not vulnerability. That's not the right word. The innocence and authenticity of our true nature. We learn to embrace that by becoming conscious compassionate awareness, the conscious compassionate awareness that can embrace everything. So we have that experience within ourselves. We see these children in Cantalomba.
Yes.
And the innocence that we project onto them, that we resonate with, that we see in them, is mirroring what we are finding and recognizing in ourselves. And so we are moved to want to help them, assist them, bring conscious compassion awareness to them, which brings it to us. It's just this wonderful back and forth of non-separate reality.
Yes, yeah. It's so obvious. I mean, as we were walking through the campaign and beginning to talk about all of it, in some ways it's a very obvious point, but I don't know that I'd ever really stop to look at it in that way. I have on my desktop, as the background of my desktop, a picture of Felisa, who is, she's probably 6 years old, and she has the biggest smile on her face. And I realize that every time I look at that, of course, that's touching in that place for me. And
yes,
giving me the gift of reconnecting to that innocence inside of me.
Yes, yes. And so it helps you remember what you're all about, which is working out your own salvation diligently, which is another way of saying rescuing that sweetness, goodness, all of that tender stuff that we are looking for inside of ourselves. You see that in her, in that smile, brings you right back to you. You remember that you want to save the little person in you who has a smile just like hers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
And we're so lucky to have practice in that way, because it would be so easy to get so caught up in the content without having that constant reminder of the mirror back here. You know,
yes.
Oh, gosh, all these children, and it's so overwhelming, and oh, my gosh, and we really have to, and...
Yes.
And to have that constant reminder that the place it's generating from is that joy inside of each of us gives us the place of always being able to move forward and assist with transforming the community from a there's nothing wrong, there's nothing here to fix place.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have some particulars in the campaign, and as usual, Ashwini is working her magic in the background to help to make all of that happen. So Ashwini, I wondered if you might just outline some of the highlights of things we can look forward to over the next 10 or 11 weeks.
Yes. Thanks, Jen. And I think, you know, this is the year of deepening practice. And so the weeks leading up to the Brit Walk is really another way for us to deepen our practice. And the focus of the practice is really celebrating celebrating, first of all, the work that we do in Cantalumba on a content level, but the transformation that was made possible there by all of the support that the Sangha has been providing for that work, but actually celebrating the transformation that is happening inside of each one of us as we have supported that work. And so Sherry and I have talked about this a little bit as closing the loop. So we project externally the compassion, but we don't celebrate that we are that compassion. And so the focus of the campaign is really all of to deepen that practice in that way, to say we've been so successful in moving that project forward. It's because we've all been compassionate. Let's recognize and celebrate the fact that that's the transformation that's happening in each one of us, right?
Yeah, really. So it's really fun. There are these parallel tracks of celebrating the literal steps of transformation in Cantalumba, all the things that have come in the project, and closing the loop. I love that phrase. And celebrating that compassion in each of us that has allowed that to be possible.
And the transformation, because we never stop to think about all the work that we've done in practice in our lives and all the people who keep showing up and doing retreats and keeping practice commitments and, you know, letting that which is causing us to seek is transforming us. So let's take a moment in the next 11 weeks to recognize that's happening.
Yeah, that's great. Really fun.
And so a lot of the concrete ways in which we're going to do that primarily is that every week we're going to send out something from the monastery that explains a certain aspect of the project that we're celebrating, for example, clean water, or the fact that the project provides good, healthy food. And for us to look at it from the perspective of the benefit that's had to the child that's receiving it, and then to look at that with gratitude for what that means in our lives, right? We have good food. We have clean water. We don't even think about it.
Right.
But every opportunity of what is brought in terms of basic needs to that community is a cause for celebration for us, and we can celebrate that with a certain level of awareness and gratitude. And so every week there will be a story told by a child about what that project has done for them in that aspect of it, like getting access to clean water or safe housing, an awareness practice tip that we will focus on for the week. And included in that will be trying to make sure that we raise the funds that are required to support the community going forward.
Yeah.
So we've got 800 photographs of all of the children that we're now actually sponsoring that are going to go live on our website in a new gallery that we've designed.
Oh.
So people can go in and start sponsoring the children as support for the project. And so it's going to be driven out of these weekly communications, paralleled by a new blog that we're launching, which is news from Cantalumba every week, as reported by Teresa,
which
that
is
has pictures
live on the site.
Which is
right
live.
Now. Went live today.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Great. Of course, the Bridgewalk registration is now open, and we have some really, really cool ideas for the T-shirt coming out, and that'll be sort of the last communication of the campaign, and everyone can watch out for it. And here's the most important part, where we will actually be doing interviews from Cantalumba that are part of the good news updates for them to report actually directly to us the transformation that's happened in their lives.
Yep. Yeah, so it really is, it's a journey. It's about 10 weeks of walking through the journey of transformation, both as we're talking about in Cantalumba and inside of each of us. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and I think it's a great way to practice every week with a particular focus of attention.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm excited about because, it's not, it's how we do anything is how we do everything. And that's what I think Sherry is talking about. This is not a fundraising campaign. This is a deepening practice campaign. And it's one of celebration, of gratitude, and of really, really holding that sense of compassion that we project as the compassion that we are.
And a big thank you to everyone, to the two of you in specific, but also there are a number of other people behind the scenes who have really allowed us to make this launch happen the eve of actually going there to visit our community, our friends, our home. I was telling Sherry just today that two of the folks, both Teresa and Eunice, who runs the guest house where we stay, and people have seen her on the blog over and over, both emailed saying, "We can't wait to have you home." So it truly is another home for us, and it's so perfect to be able to launch the time of the year when we really celebrate the project on the eve of going back to see them all. So it's all really quite fun. So, Sherry or Ashwini, anything else before we end?
Not really. Well, actually, yes, but it's not on this topic. It's on kind of a little parallel topic, and that is I was thinking with we're very aware of how much alike our lives are, our lives here and their lives there. Much more so than I think is obvious to most folks. But I just love that we have spent the first part of this year, the last winter, transforming our home here at the monastery and in a lot of the same ways that Cantalumba is transformed. You know, they get a new outhouse and we spruce up our outhouses.
It's really true,
and,
actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I was just enjoying that too, just
yeah.
with the, you know, the how the family, how deeply the family is linked.
Yeah, in fact, there's a picture on the news from Cantalumba, as I say, that went live today. It's going to be a brand new weekly thing that Teresa and the team send back. One of the photos shows the desks that they recently made. And when we were there, I don't know, last November or something, and we all went and picked out a color to paint them. And it wasn't until the first, three desks were painted and we looked at them that I realized, oh, that's monastery brown. The same color that you see, everything that we paint the monastery. So that was really a fun parallel.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
All right. Well, thank you both, Sherry.
Safe travels, Jen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We look forward to getting all the news.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We'll be sending back, you know, blogs and, as Ashwini said, interviews and all kinds of fun stuff. So stay
good.
Tuned.
Good.
Right.
All right.
Thanks for being
with us.
Thanks, Jen.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Michael, we'll turn it over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Ashwini. And welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
It's one of
Sherry.
Our favorite times of year, isn't it, Michael?
Oh, my goodness. I almost forgot to unmute myself because I was so busy reading the new website. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, and as Jen indicated, there's a lot of, you can tell there's a lot of effort going in behind the scenes to bring all of this together. So
I can tell.
Yeah. And not to, but just to, you know, also tie this with the all together thing, with the bridge walk and the 25th anniversary of Precepts. That's another coming together sort of thing that's happening. A lot of people who have been working on all of this for all of the years that we've been practicing together, gathering to celebrate that transformation of all of our lives, as well as the bridge walk and the Cantalumba and a whole lot of transformation going on.
Wow. Wow. Tears in the eyes over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Why am I not surprised to see something big and visionary coming out of the monastery?
Right.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous. I have some announcements here.
All right.
As you just mentioned, the Precepts Renewal Retreat is September 26th to 29th. It's now open for registration. This year it'll be a special Sangha homecoming event as we celebrate 25 years of commitment to practice. And everyone who's taken the precepts with you, Sherry, is invited to come.
Yes. Thank you for that clarification. There are a lot of people who have taken precepts somewhere, but this is the ones in our particular little way of approaching practice. So
yes. And it's exciting that it takes place in the week and weekend after the bridge walk, and so folks can plan to attend both events if they want to.
Yes, and we planned it that way in the hope that people coming a distance will really make it a whole deal. They'll come for the bridge walk and stay for the precepts.
Yes, and with that in mind, there are going to be some spaces available at the monastery for folks to stay in between these two events.
Yes, and I really would encourage people, if you want to do that, to sign up quickly because it's starting to fill up.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. And there's still time to sign up for the Rest and Be Thankful weekend retreat. That's coming up this weekend, July 13th to 15th. And the Your Practice retreat, which is July 18th through 25th.
Hmm.
And folks can visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to read more or sign up for any of these events. Now I'm going to put this website away so I'm not distracted.
You remember to push all the right buttons there.
Yeah, you know, I'm tempted to get back in there very soon. Let's talk to our first caller.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Danny calling from San Francisco.
Hey, Danny.
Hi, Sherry. Well, one big thing at a time. The idea that I would call the radio show 3 weeks after the last time I called, it's just so not fitting with egocentric karmic conditioning's picture of who I am.
That's really, really well stated. It would have you believe that it's just not who you are.
No, it's just, and I used to believe it.
Yeah.
And just thinking about calling the radio show would strike me with such fear that I would think about something else.
Immediately. Yeah.
So, and that's, when I look at that, what I'm seeing is that is one of, that calling the radio show again is an example of the taking advantage of practice opportunities that I have not taken advantage of because of ego's putting the fear into me.
Yeah.
And in the last few months, I have had experiences that I mentored myself through Survive to Tell the Tale and not very long ago I would not have been able to imagine that I would do those things.
Yeah. It's one of those places that is just darn near impossible. It is impossible to grasp until one has had the experience.
Yeah.
You know, it seems I seem like me. And when I get information that I'm not the kind of person who calls into a radio show, certainly not twice, that's just so. It's just true. I know myself. I know how I am. I've known myself all my life. You know, I mean, we hear people say those kinds of things. And then we have an experience that shows us, proves to us beyond a doubt that that's just not true. That what's talking is egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, has nothing to do with the person, and that there's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful human being trapped behind that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I want to really, really acknowledge and offer deep gratitude for the facilitated program, because that especially has really helped me move through lots of beliefs and lots of fears, and it's really been a great experience.
Good, good. Good. And do you have a sense, Danny, that, because I'm asking you this question, but it's kind of for everybody who's listening to us talk, that all of this has been unfolding just at a perfect pace for you?
Well, you know, that depends on who you is, of course.
Yes, well, I'm talking about the beautiful, beautiful human being.
Yes. It's interesting. I was looking at the same question with different words yesterday, and thinking how life lately has felt in some sense like I'm in free fall. Like the usual touchstones, the usual foundations are gone, and just sort of being carried along by life.
And you know, the title of that book.
That's the next thing I thought of.
So now you just want to go into a gorgeous swan dive.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
It's all those images that we hear about, you know, it's like waking up from a dream. It's like, suddenly the lights come on and you didn't even realize you were in the dark. Those kinds of, you can see what people were going for when they try to explain the difference of coming out of that delusion of ego, that's who I am, and then realizing that, gosh, no, it's actually not.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, I've seen that over time to one extent or another. And what seems to have happened recently is that, I mean, it's just a huge, as I said before, a huge aha. It's like, wow, really? That? I was listening to that?
yeah, and we just don't see it until we see it. That's why when you were talking and the last time you called in about getting to that place of, you know, thinking about quitting, but just something gets you to continue, just to hang in there a little bit longer, and then poof. The whole thing pops, and there you are.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say that right around the time that I called a few weeks ago, I stopped feeling lit up the way that I had been. And there was a lot of scrambling to see what had happened, how much of that was ego strikes back, how much of that was drastically cutting down on my caffeine consumption. And there was a couple weeks of, there was a lot of resistance to how I was feeling.
Yes.
And in the last few days, I've begun to see that all the energy and attention that goes to that comparing and wondering and trying to figure out just helps keep me stuck in it.
Yes. God, that is so important to see. The amount of life force that people waste trying to figure out, with the help of the voice in their head, how am I feeling? How do I feel? And is this how I want to feel? How I should feel? Is this a good way to feel? Or is the way I feel an indication that there's something wrong? And that whole thing is just a smokescreen.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I think there might have been a tweet about that recently, or somehow that sounds familiar. But and at the time, I was feeling lit up, and it didn't land the way it just landed now. So, thanks for that.
Very welcome. You know, it's funny.
Okay.
It's that when we're really present, cereal boxes contain the wisdom of the ages. You know. Yeah,
if we're really present, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that's my time. Thank you so much.
Well, it's
thanks
great to hear from you anytime, Danny.
Great.
Right.
I'll talk to you soon then. All
okay.
Right, thank you, and thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Danny. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Anna from Yorkshire in England.
Well, good middle of the night. How are
yeah.
you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you. I'm ringing to just to connect and to and just to. Let you know what I've been up to since the last time we chatted.
Good, please.
well, I thought I would just tell you what I've been doing. Do you remember a while ago I rang up because I was upset and worried because I thought I was going to have to sort of get a full-time job.
Yes.
Well, I haven't managed that. I've got a really small minor disability. It's really, really, really tiny. But it does mean that I can't just go and get any job, which it's worked out fine because we've managed to keep going nevertheless. And it does mean, I have found some work, so that's good. It does mean that I've had some, time, more time than I was anticipating to practice. And I love it. You know, I absolutely love it, and I do as much as I can. One thing that's come together recently is something that links the last EMR class on resistance and the being lit up and bringing your life into practice, or your practice into life. It's one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I can never remember
your life into
phrase,
practice.
No.
Yes,
bring
yes.
it. That's it. Yeah, bringing life
mm-hmm.
into practice. During the EMR class, it was the bit about the jewel, the inner jewel, with the sort of layers of gunk all around it,
uh-huh.
and that was an amazing EMR class, you know, as well. And at the time, and now, I was listening to a lot of Karen Drucker, and a lot of her lyrics sort of are about how you're a shining, radiant light, and I sort of got the jewel and her lyrics sort of came. They sort of merged into a star for me. The idea of the star being, that they're so radiant that they can shine, you know, all those millions of miles. And then what came to me was you did a tweet which I've kept and I loved it, and it was make an outrageous goal and commit to it. And so I just sort of drew this little jewel stroke star. So I drew a little character and decided, well, that's my jewel. And she's like a little Bobby character, and she's got a big nose. And I thought, I might journal this character and looking at all the wonderful things every day. And then that might reflect back to me how awake I'm being, how aware I'm being. And I've not really done that before. So I started it. And then she gained a little pal. And this little pal loves her unconditionally. And so if this jewel, this star, you know, began to feel a little bit sad or upset or anything, a little power would always come up with something that would make her feel better. And so the bit about bringing life into practice as well is that I've been feeling that I can more and more be who I am with other people rather than hiding that and just being like that with friends. And I thought, well, and I wanted to do an experiment, and I thought, because I had quite a few, and I thought, I'm going to make a blog of these little illustrations, and I'm going to tell people so that people know what I'm really doing. and I was saying, I can do it. I can do it. And if anybody didn't like it, that's fine. Because
right.
They don't really care.
Right.
So that was the point of that. So I did it. And on top of that, every time I did it, I tweeted it as well. So even more people. And everybody, like, really, really loves them. So it's been fantastic. And all this time, so this actually began in March. They have been progressing, and they've been changing as I've been learning. And just another bit of it that came into it. So I love quotes, and I've always wanted to think, how can I combine art and quotes? And then it just happened all by itself that I would use this star character to illustrate these quotes. And I've been doing it. And it's the first time I've really sort of used my skills as an artist. Without any voices of judgment or criticism, it's just purely what's there. And it's not even really about the art. It's a bit of a cliche. It's not about the art, it's about the message. But it is more like that. But these quotes I've been illustrating have been from Transform Your Life. So I'm dead excited about that. That's really good. Artist in residence at a local theatre, and I'll be having an exhibition, and I'm going to be exhibiting these illustrations, which is going to serve two purposes. So again, even more, I'm saying, look, this is what I'm doing, and this is what I love, and this is what I'm about, and people will get to read the quotes from Transform Your Life as well. So spreading the word.
Wow. Now, how can I see this?
Sorry?
How can I see this?
Oh, well, I can absolutely email the pictures to the monastery. But
yes, please.
The blog, I'll email the blog as
yes,
well.
Yes, please.
And I'm just really, really happy. I'm just so happy. So it's settled down now. It's settled down into two coloured images a week. Because my house was just like getting more and more messy and dirty, and the garden was getting overgrown. But I really needed to do it at the time. And it was like, you know, when you're practicing as if your hair's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like that. And like my family understood, and they were really supportive. And Poppy has helped me with this blog and got this blog looking fantastic and everything. So that's where I am. So I haven't got a lot of money because I haven't got a lot of work, but we've managed to keep going. I'm really, really, really happy. And
yeah.
Just so, so happy. It's great.
Yeah. And I mean, really, truly, that is what we're going for, right? And of course, we don't know where this is going to go. I mean,
no.
We have no idea. It you know, all of the kinds of things that are so... you know, things that we see everywhere in culture, you know, started with somebody having an idea about something that lit them up and was fun and exciting, and they couldn't stop themselves from doing all the time. And, you know, and then we all get to be a part of that, get drawn into that.
Yeah. I really loved illustrating the quotes from the book as well. I tried to keep them kind of seasonal. So like for June, I'm sort of trying to do June-ish ones, and for July, sort of July, you know, because I'm following the seasons. But it really makes me feel even more connected to you guys, you know, over there, and then that makes me practice even more, and it really has helped me in reflecting back my So I'm really, really wanting to really work on being here, you know, on breathing.
Yes.
And being here for every moment.
Yes. Because it's exciting, isn't it? It's a
really
thrilling place to be here.
It is the only place to be.
Yeah.
So that's thank you to everybody does. Yes.
Makes me so very happy. Because, you've been doing this for a few years now. And transformation. Huh?
Oh, yeah. And this year, I get it that nothing can happen without what's come before it. But it's really, really snowballing.
Yes.
But I've even joined a sitting group as well, which is, you know, I was really nervous and thought I was going to run away, but I didn't. I stayed. which is really good.
Snowball kind of running out of control, heading toward avalanche proportions. Yay.
Yeah. So that's fantastic.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm just going to keep that up.
Good. And I'm really eager to be able to see all of this. Really.
Yeah, I will. If anybody wants to see them, the character is called Star and her little buddy is called Binky. Because I don't know if you have the term over there, but over here, a binky is what a rabbit does. They leap up in the air and they spin and turn and rush around. It's called binkying. And it's considered to be an expression of joy, an expression of the excitement and happiness at being alive.
Wow.
So her pal is called Binky. And so we've got Star being that radiant light that's in everybody. And then Binky, she just can't help being happy. You know, she's an animal. She's, so Binky and Star. If people type in Binky and Star, it just brings up the blog, which is brilliant. So obviously nobody else has got that name, so that's great.
So I can just
you can just type
Google in Star and Binky and
yeah,
I'll find you.
Yeah, do it the other way, though. Do it Binky and Star.
Binky and Star, okay.
Binky and Star. Don't know about the other way, but it works that way. Binky and Star.
All right, good.
I'll
be like Michael. I'm going to be, keeping my hand away from that computer there. So we make it through the show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is just a delight.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you all for being there as well.
Mm.
And I'll keep it all up, and I'll ring in again next time.
Excellent.
Make contact.
Yeah. Thank you again.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And I promise you, Sherry, I have not looked at it yet.
I know.
I'm going to
wait.
But
I bet at 6:02, we're both right there.
Yeah, so fun. And let's hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Talk Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air.
Okay,
and
Michael.
Yes.
I lied.
You went there already.
Yeah. Ralph Waldo Emerson is my favorite so far.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Binky and Star.
Okay. Binky and Star. I'll check it out later.
All right. Who you got next?
Let's find out. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jim in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey, Jim.
How are you?
Good. And yourself?
I'm doing well.
What's going on?
Not much. So I don't know if you remember, I called in last week.
Yes.
And you kind of talked me about, you gave me some guidance about doing the 30-day retreat in the back of making a change for good. So I've been doing that, and it's been the most just delightful, heartwarming experience because I kind of looked at it and I thought, you know, okay, if I'm going to do this, and I first decided to meditate in the morning, and that's a struggle for me, you know, because typically I haven't been a morning person, but I thought, well, I'll get up at 7, and instead of trying to meditate right away, I'll just meditate at 7:15 and give myself a little time to get up. So 7:15 to 7:30, and then I thought, when I get home from work, you know, sometimes that's when I usually meditate, so I also just meditate 7:15 to 7:30 p.m. So when it's 7:15, if it's a.m. or p.m.,
right,
then
you're on that cushion.
Exactly. And then I just created a whole routine around that, just giving myself a lot of space and compassion. So I know I'll at least get home by 6, and so from 6 to 7 I exercise, and then from 7 to 7:15 I kind of eat and shower and then meditate, and then I do my exercises from the 30-day retreat from 7:30 to 8, and you know, usually that's some journaling and stuff. And then my thing is procrastination, and even in the book it said, if like on day 3, it said if your thing is procrastination, be specific with a project, which helped me out a lot. So I just listed a bunch of unfinished projects, and you know, I start at the top, and from 8 to 9:30, I work on that, and then 9:30 to 10, I'm getting ready for bed, and I go to bed at 10. And usually when I make these kind of commitments, it comes from the same place in my head that the voices come from.
Yep.
But since we kind of talked about it, and you gave me that guidance, like lights out at 10, and then I get up on my own at 6:30, and I'm wide awake when it's time for me to sit on the mat, and it's that whole process of when it's 6 o'clock, the rest of my day is planned out, and it's just been beautiful because the voices don't have any room to operate in that. And I know when it's this time I'm doing this, and it's just been, it's been so good. And
it's
the,
so loving, isn't it?
Yes, that's it. I'm taking care of myself,
yes.
And it just feels so good to be taking care of myself. And I realize part of the reason the voices have resisted me being in a nurturing routine for myself is they know, like, it's just I'm as calm when I'm taking care of myself this way as I am when I'm sitting. It's just so peaceful for me, and
yes.
And I'm just a few days into it, and I'm going on a business trip, so that's one of my asks for guidance, is because I'm not going to be able to be in that routine for a few days on a business trip. But the one of the things that I'm, you know, being aware of the content throughout this process, because from 8 to 9:30, I can't, that's when I'm supposed to be working on my project. And that's when it's like, oh, well, why don't you go do this? Or why don't you go do this first? There's this, I know exactly what it feels like, and I've experienced it before when I focus on the breath. It's almost like my mind feels like it's that feeling you have when you're holding your breath. Like my mind is just waiting to go, oh, so it can just start chatter, 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 chatter again.
Yes.
That's
a great description.
Yeah. And so then I realize, well, no, there's no panic. I can still just breathe and not think, just kind of be aware. I love that saying, and it took me a few times for you to say it for me to get it, which was awareness is not what you think. The thing you used to do in Colorado, when I finally got that, I was like, oh my gosh, it's not what you think. But the same thing happens when it's time for me to, it's almost like you've been up for parole and they finally grant you parole, and then the governor overturns it. You're like, no, 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 whoa, 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 wait. Like, this can't be the reality. I promise you, the voices are like, I promise you there's another way out. Like, this, like, you know, like, right, like, you have to do this thing right now.
Yeah.
And the first time I heard that, and I was like, no, okay, that's fine. I'm still going to sit down. And then I just realized, just like you said, like I was just kind of believing that before, and I settle in and those are just voices, and I don't believe them, but it's panic, and I don't know how else to describe it. Denial. There's a lot of denial.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's
back to what we talked about in the beginning with Danny. It's the facade. It's the veneer. It's the, the layer over the top that people have been convinced is who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, now you're watching it from awareness, right? You're seeing it scrambling around, trying to get back on you, you know, get
mm-hmm.
back to its position as your skin, so that you will once again believe that when it talks, it's speaking for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's the big thing that we're up against in awareness practice. Because what you're describing is perfect, and I want to say this right now, because
mm-hmm.
otherwise I'm afraid I'm going to forget, and it's really important. This is the secret to the whole deal in anything. Never quit.
Mm.
Never, ever quit. So you go on that business trip, and you're right. It is looking for that trip to be the thing that causes you to forget your commitment and what it feels like to take care of yourself and how happy you are and all of that. So it's counting on that. So you want to set up your house such that and your calendar such that you walk in after that trip and everything there reminds you to get back to taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When
I bought this, oh, go ahead.
Well, it's just that, you know, on day 9 or 10 or whatever it is, when it
mm-hmm.
finally, you know, it sets the hook, it begins to reel you in. Just know that you're going to fall for it at some point. It will take back over. It will. And then you will come to at some point. And when you come to, there are no regrets, no remorse, no postmortem. You just
mm-hmm.
right back to taking care of yourself the way you
mm-hmm.
do.
Yeah, yeah. And you kind of gave me that guidance last time about the commitment. I think it's so important. It's so important that it needs to be repeated, or it's good for me to hear it repeated because, you know, I'm fairly new to practice in it. And so I think that's
No, it doesn't matter, Jim. You could have been practicing for 35 years, and we fall into the same thing. And when we fall into it, we are just as likely to forget, get confused, as on day three of practice.
And to that end, I just want to share with everyone, I bought this. They're like 36 by 24, so it's poster size, but they're Post-it notes. And they look like yellow, just like a notepad, like a big notepad, kind of like the app on the and you just write on them, and then you peel them off, and they stick on the wall. They're super sticky. And so I've got the big Post-it note, these huge Post-it notes on my wall with, you know, my practice reminders and me checking off, you know, day one, day two, check, smiley face.
Uh-huh.
So that's helpful. It's right by my bed and everything. But I also, the one thing that's, the content that's coming up that I'm having a really kind of hard time letting go of is my boss is, I'm projecting on him, well, the exercises say, what are the voices saying? And the voices are you know, saying, even if you don't procrastinate, you won't be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And your best effort is, like, I'm doing really well right now, but your best effort is not even 1% of 1% of the ballpark of where it needs to be for me to be effective. Like, okay, you can go and do your projects, but it's not going to make a real-world difference. And then my boss will come in from, say, a meeting with his boss, who's kind of the owner of our company, and, you know, his foot will be bouncing up and down rapidly, and he'll kind of be looking around, and he'll say, you know, we should do this. What's going on with this? And he'll ask me for a kind of a project update, or just say, we need to be doing this. And I'm projecting onto him sort of this nervous urgency. Mm-hmm. When I realized this, like, my karma is beginning more karma. And then EKC says to me, see, you're not, even though at work, I never procrastinate. EKC says, see, this is proof you're not going fast enough, and you're not doing enough, and, you know, more, faster is what I'm projecting on my boss that he wants. And I feel like that projection that I'm putting on him is reinforcing the karma the belief that I kind of have that even if I don't procrastinate, I won't be effective. And
right. Well,
and then I get triggered by him, and, you know, I get angry. And,
so here's the deal. I mean, mm-hmm. First thing we've got to get, those voices are the voices of self-hate. So it is just what they do. I wish I could do the switch in people's heads so that the voice is suddenly speaking German or Swahili or, you know, something that you don't speak, so that you could just hear them just kind of ranting and raving, it wouldn't mean anything. All you'd get is the energy of it, and you could really see that it's just there to throw you off, to make you feel bad, to scare you, keep you in that urgent, fearful, angry space. That's all. That's all that's going on with that. Now, are you doing the Reflective Listening Buddies program?
I am.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So those skills that you're going to be practicing are going to be incredibly helpful for you with your boss, because you can actually practice being present with him and reflecting him. Probably not the way you do with your buddy, because he'll catch on to it pretty quickly and not be excited about it. But in a, you know, just in a skillful kind of way. So, you know, he's blah, 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 blah. Okay. Are you saying that you would like me right now to focus on blah, blah, blah? Just see what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, so is that a higher priority for you than this? Would you, you know, which of these do you, if I can,
mm-hmm.
you see?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're
mm-hmm.
focusing on him instead of mm-hmm. listening to, I would project, his self-hated
mm-hmm.
voices coming out of his mouth, and you taking that on and letting your self-hating voices, not that they're yours, but they do live inside your head or have access
mm-hmm.
to the inside of your head. So now those self-hating voices are in conversation, and there's only ever going to be misery that comes out of that. So
mm-hmm.
if, as you could kind of step back and focus on what he's saying and really try to hear him and get clear about what's going on with him and
mm-hmm.
what he actually wants you to do, first of all, I bet you'll realize quickly that he has no clarity at all. He's just unconsciously because he's anxious
mm-hmm.
and nervous and urgent and upset, and you're a likely place to dump some of that.
Mm-hmm.
So as you begin to step back, you're taking it less personally. You're able to stay focused on him, which keeps you out of relationship with the voices in your head. Everything
mm.
calms down, slows down. You begin to see through it.
Mm. That's what I love that. And one of the things that actually did that on a previous business trick, I was just kind of reflected back to him a little bit, and that's so beautiful. But I think where I came from it from is when he would be like, blah, 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 you know, what's going on with this or whatever, I would notice that my reaction, although it was rational to him, there was also so much resistance in it.
Yes.
And I'd just taken that resistance email course, and I was thinking about that. And so then I just responded back to him without the resistance. He dropped the resistance, and then it was just, oh. And I was just kind of like almost like a four-year-old was like, hey, let's look at this. Oh, you're talking about this? Okay, let's talk about that. Just
yes.
just like going along with it and not engaging in, oh, my gosh, this is an urgent thing. I'm just, oh, I'm a four-year-old. You pointed out that stick. I'll look at that stick too. Like
yes,
and
you know, the thing that I think probably then is really helpful for him, he doesn't have to feel your resistance.
Mm-hmm.
He came
around 180 degrees
yeah.
when I was just not giving him back any resistance. He was like, wow, yeah, this is great.
Yep.
Jim, you're great. You know, I love Jim. Like, it was, so,
yep.
And then I felt better, of course, and now all the voices of self-hate couldn't get me, like, oh, my boss hates me, you're going to fire me, I'm so behind. And so,
right.
No, that's great. That's great.
So now the business trip is just a different form of practice. It's all practice.
Mm.
You're just doing it in a different venue.
Okay.
Right? And then when you get home, you continue your practice in that venue.
Okay.
Yeah?
Gotcha.
Very
yeah.
good.
Let Thank
me know.
You, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Good night.
Oh, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jim. You're listening to Open Air. This is a very exciting show, Sherry. Lots of great tips here. Lots of fun conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. People are practicing.
Yes. Yes. And we have another caller.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Virginia from Washington State.
Oh, hello, Virginia.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to call partly because of my a monthly commitment to call, and partly because the last time we talked, I had an assignment, and so I wanted to report back.
Very good. You've been,
yeah.
you've been doing your homework.
Well, I have. Well, I dragged my feet a little. There was some foot dragging to begin with.
Uh-huh,
but
of course.
Especially this, yeah. And this last week, I have been pretty consistent in setting it. I set like a time to meet with my, to have like an open forum for my sub-personalities.
Uh-huh.
And
a little board meeting.
Uh-huh. And
how'd
well,
that
actually,
go?
It's been going fine. Like, I'm trying to do it every night. And at first, nobody showed up. But that was okay because I just kind of sat there and I tried to be with the body sensations. And then now different, seems like different sub-personalities are showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And
So you sit down and
mm-hmm.
and kind of invite anybody who wants to come in and talk to you to come in and talk to you.
Mm-hmm. I have a little teddy bear. And
uh-huh.
so I talk to the teddy bear, and then we switch back and forth.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like a two-chair exercise.
Uh-huh. But the teddy bear represents whichever personality is the physical form of whatever personality feels like talking with you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been really kind of fun, and I'm getting to know people or parts. So far, I think I've gotten in touch with three different sub-personalities who it just feels like a good connection.
You feel them now more when you're going around in the world, when they are present in your life?
I'm starting to become more aware of them, yeah, yeah. And you know what, Sherry, in during this process between like the last time we talked and this time, I had an insight about the whole sub-personality thing, which is, you know, I tend to have in the past I would have said I had an issue with abandonment, and all of a sudden it came to me that really it's a big projection because it's me abandoning my sub-personalities. So,
which is another way of saying you abandoning you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that is a rather huge insight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of big. It's kind of big. So it kind of makes it a little bit, it gave me some juice to actually sit there and ask, you know, some sub-personalities to come up. Because that feels like a way that I'm not abandoning myself.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so, it's so big. It's so important. So, you know, I've got going whatever I had going when I was, you know, a year old and my mother couldn't be there because of all these circumstances in her life. And I could tell you this whole story about everything that was going on. And that's why I am the way I am today. And by God, I'm going to stay here being this way until my mother makes that up to me. Now, the problem is she's been dead for about 50 years. So, that makes it harder. And so if, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, and you know what, Sherry, it's not just abandonment. Like, it's participation. It's, you know, what people think of me. I feel like it all traces back to me abandoning myself.
Yes.
And so that's the thing with participation, which I think I mentioned to you earlier at some point in this year about wanting to participate more, you know. But there's always been a conversation about, no, you're not wanted. You know, kind of a something like that.
You don't belong.
Right, you don't belong, exactly. Which, to me, it seems really clear now that that has to do with me saying that to my sub-personality.
Well, yes, and although I would say, this is how I would frame it. You learned to do to yourself what was done to you.
Okay.
Now, did the people who did that to you, did they mean to do that to you? Probably not.
No.
The odds are really good because, you know, most of us really just don't go around hurting people intentionally. But it doesn't mean that people don't get hurt. So you concluded somewhere in your growing up years, and I tell you, it takes an extraordinary person not to conclude that you're not that important, you're not that special, nobody really cares, you know, you have to try really hard to prove yourself, but it's never going to work anyway, and, you know, all these kinds of messages. So that's how we learn to treat ourselves, because that's the information we got about who and how we are. Mm-hmm. So now you've had a realization that that happened, and that you fell for that. You bought into that system, and that's what you did, and now you've seen another possibility.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so it's not really that you were abandoning you, because that does have sort of an intention sound to it.
I see, yeah, right. No, yeah, it certainly wasn't intentional.
No, you didn't know that that's what was going on.
Yeah.
But it is what was going on. Nobody was choosing you.
No one was choosing me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, in other words, during that period of time, you know, we hope that other people will give us what we want and need, and they
right.
don't because they
right.
can't.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we don't give ourselves what we need, then
mm-hmm.
it's not coming from anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
So then
yeah.
you have that realization, now
mm-hmm.
you're available to
yes.
take care of these folks in the way they've always wanted to be taken care of.
Right. And I guess when you said that, what I heard was what you had said to the first caller was that this is the time that I'm available.
Yes.
And I
yes.
wasn't available before.
That's right. You took all the steps necessary to get to the place where you could see this.
Yeah.
What you've seen. You couldn't see
yeah.
it from anywhere else. You had to be standing right where you were standing in order to see what you've seen.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks, Sherry. That feels really great. I mean, that just, yeah. Yeah.
And now you're there. Now,
yep.
now having taken all those steps, now you're the person who can bring the unconditional love and acceptance that these folks need.
Mhm. Mhm.
And
mm-hmm.
you're right. In that process, you will realize that you do belong, that you always
mm-hmm.
have.
Mhm.
And so participation becomes a joyful thing because mm-hmm. it would once that embracing happens, it wouldn't occur to you that somebody wouldn't want you to participate.
Yeah, yeah, I kind of get that. I'm still practicing with it, and I kind of get that's what's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so cool, Sherry. I mean, that would
Isn't
be a
it?
Whole, that's a, it's a lifetime, it would be a lifetime 180, you know.
Yes,
for me.
It is a lifetime 180, and you're making it.
Wow.
Right?
That's really, yeah, yep.
It's kind of dizzying, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is really dizzying because in my life I've thought that was the kind of person I really was. I thought that was the kind of person I was, or I mean, I had this idea that was there, or and I was always kind of like, well, why isn't it there? Why can't I get that? You know, why couldn't?
Yeah. And it is everything we're looking for is there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We just haven't. Stepped outside that, away from that skin enough to see it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Sherry. I'm so inspired. I'm so glad
Good.
I got it. Yeah. I'm even more inspired after having this conversation with you. And I think I just have like a minute, but I just want to say really quickly that then there was like an addendum to the assignment, which was to like set my wristwatch for every 15 minutes when I got the sense of urgency
uh-huh.
and to like get up and jump around, which I have done. I've practiced that. I practiced that last weekend. It's easier a little bit on the weekends where I can, you know, be in a place where I can do that. But I'm just going to continue to work with that.
Yeah.
I think and I'll tell you more on that later.
No, tell me now.
I'll tell you now. Okay. Well, my experience was it was helpful. And also what I also noticed was if there's, I can do it wholeheartedly or I can kind of jump up and go through the motions.
Yes.
Yes. So,
and the wholehearted is the one that works, doesn't it?
Yes. I'll
tell you something else about that.
Mm-hmm.
When there, if you're doing that and whatever it is, you know, there are other people around. If you're doing something not wholeheartedly,
mm-hmm.
people will struggle with it.
Okay.
If you're doing it self-consciously, which is another way of saying from ego,
uh-huh.
then it makes people on an energetic level uncomfortable.
All right.
But when you're authentically there
uh-huh.
and just participating fully in life,
mm-hmm.
unselfconsciously, spontaneously there and expressive,
uh-huh.
then nobody has a problem with it.
In fact, they probably are right there with me.
That's right.
That being joyous and joyful and
exactly.
celebrating. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because it's inclusive.
Yes, inclusive.
The one is exclusive,
mm-hmm.
right? And so So again, on an energetic level, that doesn't feel good to people. But
mm-hmm.
when it's open-hearted, it's inclusive, and it feels good to everybody. That's why people like children and small animals.
Yes. Oh. Right, because there's these expressions of
yeah.
joy
yeah.
and love and
yeah.
excitement about life.
Yes. And to carry that on a little further, because
mm-hmm.
I've just spent a little time there, that's why people do not enjoy children when they have reached the stage of conditioning where they're operating out of a very self-conscious, burgeoning, ego-driven state of self-centeredness.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It ceases to be charming.
Right. It's not the spontaneous life moving kind of thing anymore.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we recognize it everywhere, and most important thing of all is we can recognize it all in ourselves, because
yes.
that is from where we are projecting.
Right. Wow, really cool.
It
Thank
is.
You so much. Thank you, Sherry.
Oh, you're so welcome.
I didn't know what I would call to be inspired. I was going to call to report, but now I'm leaving very even more inspired than when I called.
Good. Well, then
yeah.
we'll be eager for the next report and the next inspiration.
Me too. Thank you very
all
much.
Right. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. You've been listening to Open Air, another over-the-top show, Sherry.
Yes, with
wow.
Key and Star and getting ready for the blogs and all these people doing this fabulous practice. My goodness, my goodness.
Very inspiring.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, next week then.
Let's do it again.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.